Hello and welcome to Swiss Info's program for April the 12th. I'm Scott Kappa. Coming up...
It's a portfolio technology to mitigate climate change. However, it's not a silver bullet and it should not be considered as a silver bullet. It's part of a portfolio of technology which will be important in the mid to long term.
We'll be finding out how some Swiss are tackling climate change by removing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and putting it to good use. But first, global warming, as you might have heard by now, is here to stay. According to the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, temperatures around the world have risen on average 0.8 degrees Celsius since 1900 and should pass the 2-degree mark in the coming decades. So what are a few degrees in the bigger picture? Well, according to the IPCC, global warming has already affected every continent. It threatens to damage food and water supplies, as well as slow economic growth. And if it was to get worse, it would also cause irreversible damage, such as the meltdown of the Greenland ice cap, or kill off Australia's Great Barrier Reef, sometimes called the world's biggest living organism. And just who is the culprit? That would be so-called greenhouse gases, chief among them CO2, short for carbon dioxide. Fortunat Jors is the president of the Oeschger Climate Centre at the University of Bern.
In terms of CO2, why it's so often equated with CO2 equals all the greenhouse gases, basically it is the most important one in terms of the perturbation by humans. There are other forcing agents or greenhouse gases that change or affect the climate. These are methane or nitrous oxide or ozone, also aerosols, which have some either a cooling influence or some soot. Carbon has a warming influence. But these are, compared to CO2, less important for two reasons. The first reason is that the amount of CO2 emitted is really huge compared to the amount emitted by these other agents. For example, for CO2, we talk about parts per million, whereas by methane, we talk about parts per billion. So there's a factor of 1,000 difference just in the concentration. And another aspect that makes CO2... interesting in this respect, or important in this respect, is that it's the lifetime of the perturbation in the atmosphere is very long. That is to say, if we emit 10 billion tons of carbon per year in 2014, which is currently about not the size of the emission, then of this 10 billion tons of carbon, in 1,000 years, more than 20% are still found in the atmosphere.
CO2 occurs naturally in the atmosphere as part of the so-called carbon cycle. But human activity has upset the balance of that cycle over the past two centuries, according to Jors.
What is now special and why we are a bit concerned here with CO2 is that the human have started to perturb this cycle of CO2 between the atmosphere, the ocean, the land, biosphere, dramatically. That is, by burning of fossil or using fossil fuel resources, burning coal, oil, and gas, as well as, especially in the 19th century, cutting trees in various areas, releasing carbon to the atmosphere by deforestation. A lot of CO2 has been added to the atmosphere. We are talking here about billions to trillions tons of carbon that have been added in the past 200 years, and the result is that the CO2 concentration in the atmosphere is today higher than ever measured in the ice cores over the past 850,000 years. That's as long as we have ice cores available. And from other less precise proxy data, we estimate that CO2 is also higher than it occurred during the past 20 million of years.
The IPCC says global temperatures will continue to rise if we fail to curb our greenhouse gas emissions. In 2010, almost 200 nations pledged to limit those emissions to 2 degrees more than pre-industrial levels. While most experts agree this will be a tough target to reach, there are a number of options to limit emissions, says Fortunat Jors.
The size of the problem is so big that one single option is not enough to tackle the whole problem, so that we basically need to combine a whole set of options. So those that I mentioned, like higher energy efficiency at the one side, and then the other side, a switch from CO2-based energy sources like coal or oil or gas to CO2-neutral energy sources such as solar, wind, etc. This is if we want to limit the emissions into the atmosphere, then this is the way to go. An additional mitigation option that's usually summarized as carbon capture and storage, that is to say, for example, we have a coal power plant or a gas power plant. In the waste stream of these power plants, there's a lot of CO2 in the stack gas, which can be separated using chemicals so that the CO2 bonds with the chemical, and then in a cycle the CO2 is separated and is condensed and densified and then transported to a suitable site where it can be injected into deep geological reservoirs.
Capturing CO2 from factory chimneys is just one part of the equation. Two Swiss projects are currently looking how to take the greenhouse gas and use it to create synthetic fuels by combining it with hydrogen. The result is methane that could be re-injected into the natural gas distribution network. At Zurich-based Climeworks, the aim has been for the past 5 years to develop a technology to continuously suck up atmospheric CO2. Carbon dioxide is collected by passing air through a specially treated filter placed inside an extractor unit. Once it has reached its maximum capacity, the filter is heated using waste energy or renewable power to release extremely pure CO2. For Climeworks founder Christoph Gebald, the goal is to help reduce carbon dioxide emissions, notably in the transport sector.
What we aim at in the very long term is to decarbonize some parts of the transportation sector. For example, aviation will, in our understanding, use carbamide plates also in 100 years from now and not fly with hydrogen or batteries. So, for example, air capture combined with the synthesis of renewable fuels will be an efficient way to decarbonize the aviation sector, and the aviation sector is something like a small single-digit percentage of the global CO2 emissions. So it's a small contribution. It's a portfolio technology to mitigate climate change. However, it's not a silver bullet, and it should not be considered as a silver bullet. It's part of a portfolio of technology, which will be important in the mid to long term.
Climeworks, which is still working on the industrial version of its filter, has already signed a deal with German car manufacturer Audi to provide elements for its synthetic gas program. The idea is to combine different technologies to lower emissions, according to Gebald.
We talk about technologies outside of the car, so central plants. So this will be an industrial park where you have a source of renewable energy, for example, wind energy. You would have a Climeworks plant, and you would have a fuel synthesis plant. And so what you do there is you produce the fuels from the renewable electricity, and these fuels will then be entered in the national or international fuel system. So, for example, if we talk about methane, the Audi e-gas will be fed into the methane grid, and then Audi will have a tank cart. So, for example, you can buy a so-called Audi A3 G-tron. This is a car propelled by methane, and you get a tank cart with it. And you use that cart to refill your car. And by a balancing system, it's made sure that the amount of methane you received from just a normal gas station will be fed in by the Audi e-gas facility. So actually, the calculation of the carbon reduction is done over the grid or over the atmosphere in a decentralized way, not in a central way in the car.
Capturing CO2 is just part of the synthetic fuel process. Transforming carbon dioxide into methane by combining it with hydrogen, while in theory well understood, is difficult to scale up to industrial needs. All it needs, though, is the right catalyst to speed up the reaction. Researchers at the Federal Laboratories for Materials Science and Technology near Zurich have been looking at how to improve the process. Their solution? Nickel-coated zeolites, porous minerals with the added advantage that they can absorb water produced during the reaction and reduce other unwanted byproducts. But for scientist Andreas Borgschulte, finding the right catalyzer is just one of the many challenges.
There are two things. One is, I think, a very general problem. It has nothing to do with our process itself. I think we are just at the beginning in realizing that we need such a process. We need methanation. We need to store excess energy via hydrogen, CO2, and then into methane. The other thing is that the drawback of our sorption catalyst is that the water capacity, so the amount of water which can be adsorbed in zeolite, is limited. And the media, at a certain point, it's just plainly full, like a bottle. And we have to empty this bottle again, which you do by drying. And that means what you have to make in the end is a so-called chemical looping process or a recycling process. So you have to have several reactors. One does the reaction itself. And the other reactor is then reprocessed. That means it's dried. And once the at the moment, producing reactor is also full, and the stream will be put to the now renewed reactor, which then produces the methane, while the other one or the other ones most likely are regenerated. And that is already, by explaining, I have some problems. I think it's a difficult process, but it also means it's an effort, an engineering effort to properly do that, to optimize the reaction conditions. Now we have reaction and drying. We have to make use of the waste heat to dry, otherwise it would be an efficiency loss. And the whole thing has to be upscaled to industrial scale, which is, again, an additional challenge.
Even if the scientists managed to develop the most efficient process for producing methane with the help of CO2, another hurdle looms, according to Borgschulte: the final cost of the synthetic gas.
The problem, I think, is not only the producer itself, it's also the consumer, the consumer is used to. I calculated the gas price, but it's really cheap, and we will never be able to compete with such cheap natural gas price. The estimate is something like a factor of at least 5 higher will be the synthetic natural gas. And that means, do you find a consumer who will buy that for that high price, or do we all have to live with the idea of buying cheap fossil fuel?
And that was Andreas Borgschulte of the Federal Laboratories for Materials Science and Technology. That's all we have time for this week. For more in-depth stories about climate change, please check out our website at swissinfo.ch. I'm Scott Capper, leaving you with Carbon Prevails from the movie The Social Network. Thanks for listening.